There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joint and of marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the hearts. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hallelujah. We need to learn to labor in the place of prayer. To labor and labor and labor until we enter into the rest that God intends us to be. Labor, labor. He really wants the revelation. He really wants wisdom. You need to labor in the place of prayer. Labor. Because God can bend his word just the way it is. Generation to generation past. If Jesus tarries, even generation ahead to come, it will still be the same. Men that labor, they are men that walk in divine revelations. You see, the word that God speaks is powerful. It's quick. Why is it that that same word that is quick is given to us and nothing happened in our own life? Because there's no enough illumination. There's no enough revelation in our life. I want us to pray. Unbelief is still setting in our hearts. Unbelief. I believe, but inside of you, you know you don't believe. No revelation. No illumination. I want us to pray and ask the Lord to grant us grace to labor. No man again to labor. Men that God give him burden to pray. That's why the families that lost their loved ones, when that trace the matter, I said, did God reveal to you? Say yes. but I didn't pray much. Why? Every revelation God brings, you want to redeem. When God reveals a thing, you want to redeem. But men receive revelation through dreams, and somehow they neglect it because the thing has not come to them by faith, revelation, insight. I want us to pray. The word of God needs to come alive in our spirit. It's not about to come and show how to preach, how to talk, how to pray. No. It's not, here is not a platform to show. It's a platform of the spirit. Where you can take that which is the grace. We enjoy grace for prayer in this place. You take that same grace and take it to your house. And press on the word that God's servant minister. Press on the word that you have received. Press on the word that you have read in the books. Bible. Press and stress so that the word become one with you. So that the word of God become quick, powerful, that are able to divide the soul and the spirit. As if the soul and spirit is glued together. May the word have ability to divide it. Like the 2X word and divide it. Labor until you enter your rest. I want us to pray and say, Lord, give me the baptism. Or labor. How does it be on our feet? I say, Lord, give me the baptism to labor, to labor, to labor. See, we're in a season of blessing. They have been declared to us the season of blessing. There's not every one of us that will enter. If you don't press very well, because the devil will not put his hand to watch you get the bless. The flesh will not allow you. I want to pray and say, Lord, give me the baptism of labor. To labor until you enter into my rest. Go ahead and make it a prayer. Be on our feet, everybody. Let's be on our feet and pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray for God's servant. Come on. Let's pray. Let's pray. Libangaba shabakata balata. Shabanta balabalakada. Before your song can be potent, before your song can bless the world, you must come from the womb of labor. If you don't labor, it does not matter the drink of your voice. It does not matter how eloquent your preaching. It does not matter. If it's not coming from the depth of labor, where you can contact something, where the word of God is quicker and powerful, then you can deliver to a generation nothing. I want you to pray, being loaded from the womb, being loaded before the womb, before God sends you to your mother's womb. You have been loaded. You have been loaded with potential. It is time for those things to come alive. It is time to affect the world. It is time. I want you to pray and say, Lord, baptize me with this guitar or play Ashkab Kabanaboda to level until I enter into my rest. Rabaka Baka Balabaka Debolata Rabaka Baka Baka Balaka Debaka Debota Rabaka Baka Debodia Baka Debaka Debaka Debodia. As you level the praise of prayer, God will give you capacity just like Jabez. The Lord God bless me indeed. And it didn't stop there. He said, I will enlarge my post. Oh my God. You need enlargement. You need enlargement. But it can't come just like that. But you must travail. That is travailing woman. Rebecca, soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. There's so much things I told you earlier. That all of us here, good man or woman, you are pregnant. You are pregnant with what God has put inside. You are pregnant. It is time to press, to travail and bring forth, that potential. Bring forth that deposit. Bring forth that impartation. The mantle they have been receiving. I've been locked up in your spirit for too long. It is time for the earth to hear you. But they are waiting the manifestation, awaiting you to manifest the glory of God. They are waiting for the blessing to manifest. And the manifestation of the spirit that give profit. And that they can bring profit to your life, your family,
to your environment, to your community, to your state, oh my God, to your local government, to your generation, oh, God, grant me grace to labor day and night. I will not stop. I will pray like Jacob. I said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. This is my season of blessing. I don't know about you. I will enter despite the pleasure. I will enter despite the devil. I will enter into the blessing. I will enter. I want to pray. I say, Lord, grant me grace to labor. To labor, to bless until I enter into the blessing. If you are a businessman, it is time that millions when you come out. If you are a financial apostle, it is time for the millions to roll out. It is time for the billions to come out. It is time to affect that particular assignment God has given to you. If you are a prophet, it is time for the prophetic to come alive. If you are a pastor, it is time for skills and understanding for such truth. If you're an evangelist, it is time for power and gift. Oh my God, to find expression. If you're a teacher, it is time for teaching grace to come alive. If you are a saint one, an apostle, it is time to go to the nations, because the nations are with you. Are with you. Then you must learn to Lord, grant me grace to labor. Labor to enter your rest. There are remaining rest for the children of God. May anyone that enter into his rest, he sees from his own works, he sees from his own labor, he sees, he has entered into the rest of God. He has entered into the rest of God in the beginning. When God created the heaven and earth, after he finished everything, Bible says, and God rested. Under Basha Baka Baka Tabaka. It is time to enter. Tabaka Baka Tabaka Rabaka Tabaka Tabaka Tabaka. I tell you truth, let's pray. He's beyond here right now. He can pray in your individual home. I want you to pray and contact. There's a grace that I so much believe in this place. Whenever you come weaker, you will be retired, you will be rejuvenated, you will be stronger, and you will be quickened. I want you to pray like David prayed. I'm back up on Amada. I want to see your power. I want to see your glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. I want to see it in my own life. I want to see it in my office, in my compound. I want to see it. Rabaka baka dabota. Ebaka baka balaka dabota. Ebaka baka 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 dabota. Ebaka baka debaka debaka to. Shabakata bakata bodo, rabakoma kwepe, shabakata bo, rabakata bakata bodo, rabakata bakata bola bo.
Opano gikoma, that's who you are, that's who you are. Oi minie opano gemoma, that's who you are, that's who you are. Oi minie
sabaga ya gade boro kuda bada bada
oma. That's who you are. That's who you are. Oh, you mean it.
Lord,
rend the heavens tonight. Let our soul be simply refreshing from your presence. Rend the heavens, O God. Let your sovereignty come down. Let your mercy come down. Oh God, I want to see you. I want to see you.
That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are.
Oh, Where is the place to call you our Father? Where is the place of revelation? Jesus.
You are the fountain that never runs dry, oh Jesus.
For it is the fountain of life. In your life we shall see light. Oh God, give us light. As our Father. We are here to behold your face. We are here to inquire at your temple. We are here to behold your beauty. Oh God. You are a fountain that never runs dry. We are called to behold your presence. We are called to behold your face. Oh my God, reach out to God, people of God. Reach out to God. The children of men put their trust under the shadow of their wings. Thou shalt make them sing for the rivers of your pleasure. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of of thy house. Yaka baleta bakana mamasa. Kalabo shabakata wada kanaba. Is a big man. Drink of the river of your pleasure. Oh, yeah, yeah, just drink. The river whose stream made flat the city of God. Drink for the river of God. Drink. Make sure you are drinking. Don't look around. Drink for the fountain. Drink for the fountain that never runs dry. Drink for that fountain that never runs dry. Let there be refreshing now. Let there be refreshing, oh Father, from your presence. Oh Jesus, we are here to drink for the fountain of the water. The water that never will dry.
You may be seated as we proceed in our study. There has been a prophetic declaration that this season is such a time that God has ordained to bless his people. But it's not enough for us to stop at a prophecy. We need to take a step further in fully articulating that which is required for us to step into the blessings of God. Yesterday we saw one of the possibilities that find expression in the spirit realm. It's a provision that is available to us and open for exploitation. That provision is the possibility of petition, to ask. Hallelujah. And we saw that asking, seeking, and knocking is in the context of a specific kind of relationship, which is the father-son relationship. We also realize that majority of Christians are not walking in the blessings of God because they have not fully understood what it means to relate with God as Father. Now, so we looked at that relationship, God as Father. You might be relating with him as God. That is not adequate for you to step into the blessings of God. And just in case you were not here yesterday, I implore you to get the tape and hear it again and again and again. And even though you were here, you need to get that tape. Hear it again and again for the next 6 months. Then it will come to you as a revelation that God is your father. And the attendant responsibilities that accrue to a father actually are applicable to him in that context. And he happens not to be an infidel, because the Bible reveals that he that is unable to provide for his own house is worse than an infidel. And God will not live below the very standards that he has set. Now, there is an environment of reality that we can only capture under the revelation of God as Father. It is in that context that prayer finds expression. Asking, knocking, and seeking only finds expression within that context. So your prayer has a problem if you have not captured that revelation of God as Father. Your seeking God's face for direction is problematic, is defective, has a systemic error in it if you have not yet embraced that revelation of God as Father, as a walking, ingrained revelation. Now, you see, most of us come to church and we understand church language. That's the problem. But when we are faced with practical life situations, most people do not function according to church principles. A pastor went to the hospital and he was to receive an injection. And it happens to be that the injection he was to receive is procaine penicillin. Procaine. Now, those of us that know procaine, where is the doctor? The young doctor. What makes that thing so painful? I don't know. What did you guys put inside? Procaine penicillin. It's as if it's drawing the blood from your leg. And when they injected the pastor, it was the name of the idol in his village that he called, not Jesus. Oro. That's the name of the ancient altar of Ileife. He invoked Oro in crisis situation. And that's why that revelation must be internalized. It must come to you as a revelation that God is Father, so that even in your subconsciousness, it holds sway. It must affect your petition. Affect your... You see, when I come to seek God, I know that I will have an answer. That is even before I seek Him, because it has entered my subconsciousness how that God cannot refuse me. Especially when I come on the basis of His word. He said, I should come. I know He will not refuse me. There are many times we'll go to preach like that and people think you are anointed every day. Not necessarily. If the anointing doesn't come, I know I have a relationship with God. I can ask God to heal somebody. I can ask God to move. Not because there's an anointing, but because there's a relationship. Yes. I achieve the same results, and we can hold 1,000 services, God will move 1,000 times. I assure you. I go for meetings, I tell them that this thing I've said is not by your prayer. Don't even say amen to it. It must come to pass. When I speak like that, I know the person I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Sometimes I come for meetings, I read out what will happen. This thing will happen. That one will happen. This one will happen. This one will happen. When I finish reading it, God does double of that which I said will happen. Now, it's not necessarily an anointing thing, it's a relationship thing. The revelation of God as Father must be ingrained. It must be written upon your heart and become a walking, living document inside of you. Like a software installed in your spirit, and you function by its capacity, you function by its possibilities. Now, are you with me? If that revelation has not come to you, you will be operating like an outcast. You'll be operating like a second-class citizen. You'll be operating as if God did not make plans for you before you were born. You'll be operating as if you manifested here like a mistake and you were never a seed of eternity that was destined by God to shoulder a certain, a definite direction or purpose in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And so you need to pick the tape. When you see affliction and all that stuff, you need to trace it. What revelation is this man working with? He has not yet stumbled into that revelation of God as Father. That was what Jesus was teaching in the book of Matthew chapter 6. And he began to give an illustration. He said, consider the lilies of the field. Then we did an analysis yesterday. See, the lilies, they sow not, neither do they reap, and neither do they gather into barns. I said they sow not, they don't have work, they reap not, they don't draw salary, they don't have barns, that means they don't have a bank account. That's what Jesus said. But he said, your heavenly Father feedeth them. He is not Father to the lilies, he's your Father. But he feeds them. So they are operating on the economy of him as God. You are operating on the economy of him as Father. And if they could use that economy and there was no need for them to work, no need for them to receive salary, no need for them to have a bank account, and yet Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of them, then Jesus now said, oh ye of little faith. Somebody was telling me about his plans to marry, and he was talking about his robust economic policies for banking, storage facilities, cash flow quadrants. Oh my God. Oh my. When you become analytical like that, as if it is by power or by might, there is a deficiency in your scope of revelation. It's an indication that you have not yet observed the lilies of the field. Your Father. Your Father. Unfortunately for me, I stumbled into that revelation quite late. My earthly father had to die for me to realize the capacity of that revelation. Your own earthly father will not die in the name of Jesus. But while he's yet alive, may you find this revelation. My dear father had to die because my father trained all his brothers. So there were so many people we could run to. So many people we could look up to. Trained all of them. 18 members of that family, my father's fingerprint was upon every one of them. Father had to marry late because he was the father of his own brothers. 18 people from 5 women. All the women had to go for nursing. And all the guys went to university. All of them grew up in our house. I met them at the age of 2. Where they'll be hiding to drink rock lager. There's a beer they call rock. Oh, Jesus. Makole Maligayabo. Rock lager. And one day my uncle called me and said, hey, you will grow up. You need this. you will need this. Rock lager. I'll never forget. Guy men, crazy men in this town, those days, very crazy people. We grew up with them. So they cannot even deny that they were not beneficiaries from my father's table. So, and it was an expectation that after my dad died, we can look up to these guys, and they manifested their shape and their color. Sometimes God will allow people be the way they are, so that the revelation of you will not have a choice than to subscribe. Normally, it's unfortunate that we don't get to subscribe until there is disappointment. So not every disappointment, in fact, every disappointment actually, in any shade, any color, any intensity, for that matter, is actually a blessing if it leads you into a walking revelation of God as Father. It's not Father to the lilies, but it feeds them all the same. And he's Father to you, but you cannot depend upon him to play his role. Hallelujah. Don't forget about my story, how that I went all the way to Abuja looking for school fees, 870 naira, to pay for my education. My uncle comes home with Ghana Must Go full of money every Friday, being the director of finance PTF. My brother-in-law, who is my uncle's wife's younger brother, goes to school with 30,000 naira. He had a television in his room. That my same uncle that my father trained to University of Ibadan, and he made 2-1 in economics. That my uncle gave me 400 naira to come back to school in Makurdi, and my transport from Abuja to Makurdi was 300 naira at that time. Because it was so, I had to save money by entering night bus, waited at a particular junction, so that when luxury buses are coming to pass through Benue State to the east, I hopped on one of them. And I slept in the car. But the sleep was not a normal sleep. The Bible calls that kind of sleep, sleeping for sorrow. You have not seen it? It's a strange sleep. It was the conductor that had to revive me when we got to the bridge. Makurdi man! And they stopped. They dropped me on the bridge. I had to pray. I said, God, I will not cross this bridge to that other side in search of money anywhere again. And he heard me. So he adopted the policy of fatherhood was effected on that declaration. Signs and wonders began to take place in my life from that day. From that day, I look not anymore on a man for intervention. O ye of little faith, he called us. May the Lord grant us understanding in Jesus' name. Now, you need to get that tape. You need to get that tape. You need to spend time on that tape. And then you see how many times you were faithless. How many times you ran into error just because you could not trust God. How many times you compromised just because you were not patient. How many times you lied just because you did not see God in a proper light. And you felt he was an infidel that would not provide for his own household. It must come to you as a revelation. It must be ingrained upon your heart like a software that is installed upon a computer. It must begin to run like a program. God is my Father. Hallelujah. I remember those days after your service. What will make you seek God? I hope you know. Are you with me? You are still here. Amen. You know, I said yesterday, and we saw it from the scriptures, that ask, seek, knock is predicated on that relationship between you and God, God being your Father. All of that, those provisions are on that foundation. Are you with me? Now, when I finished youth service, I did not know what next step to take. And the Bible says that it is not in man to direct his steps. That means we are not yet modified to that point where we can give ourselves direction. Issues of direction belong to God. Hence, you will need to seek Him. When we talk about seeking God, we are talking about entering into God's storehouse because we need input from God in areas that we have not been modified to function. Like, direction is not a function of humanity. Direction must come from another source. Hence, you need to seek God. So I began to seek God. I said, okay, what next after your service? What next after your service? If a man that does not know God as Father, instead of him to go and seek God, he will begin to try to see how many options are available. Now, you see, at that time I had... My uncle was training manager in First Bank. My uncle was director accounts, Aso Rock. I had cousins and all kinds of people. The profile, in fact, is massive. So there were so many natural options for me to just go here. But at that time, I remember the covenant I started with God on the bridge. Today I drive past that place and enter my past. I look at that spot and I smile. Thank God for that spot. That when they were constructing this bridge, people died in the construction. It was to create that spot. for me to come and stand in that evil day to connect with God and to open myself up to his direct hand of parentage. That spot might have been the reason for which the entire bridge was constructed. For me to find a platform, a place to stand and covenant. You may not need to seek God if you still subscribe to many options that lend themselves, that are readily available. People that seek God have understood God to be Father. You know, asking God, petitioning is different from seeking. Seeking is for direction. And when you come into seeking, seeking has its own protocol. It's not a time-based thing. Say, how long? I want to seek for 3 days. No. If you are seeking, you don't know when you will stop. That is seeking. Your seeking will stop when God has provided the input that is required, supernaturally required, to stabilize your walk into the destiny that is in your future. If it's 3 days of seeking, it means you just came there to worship. If you have a stipulated period that it has been assigned for, it means you came for worship. You came for retreating, to offload and unload, which is a very good spiritual practice. But if it is seeking for direction, you don't have a time limit. The time limit is commensurate to the time that God decides to intervene. And you know, because God is king, you cannot whip him into intervention. You cannot cry him into intervention. If you have been exploring those alternatives, you have been exploring the wrong principles that don't strike a chord in that corridor. In seeking God, you bow down to him and you accept his sovereignty and you accept his kingship over your life. The state of your heart before God will actually determine whether you are a worthy personality that will carry out his will. It is when he has seen that your heart is prepared to conceive his will, he will now ensure the conception, and the Holy Spirit will furnish the reality of God's direction upon your heart. Because of your loyalty to him, that is evidenced in the way your heart was presented, God now commits revelation and direction to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, people that have not yet identified God as Father, when you seek for the first day, for the first month, and it's as if God is not responding, they quit seeking. It means he's a vagabond. He doesn't understand the spirit realm. So when you stop seeking, what next? Meanwhile, the Bible says it's not given unto man to direct his steps. It means you have rejected his lordship. It's the great one that determines how long a seeking process takes place. Oh, you are not with me. I know you don't like kingdom teaching. The one that establishes you under the government of God and it strips you of every right to determine what happens next. You don't like that gospel. Amen. They don't like it in Lagos. Don't mention wilderness in Lagos, hell in Lagos, demons in Lagos. No H word, no D word, no S word. Sin, hell, and demons. Doesn't sell. Hallelujah. And so I was determined that I would never preach in Lagos. Among people that pick and choose. And when it took me 5 years for God to convince me that you might be able to. 5 years. 5 years for God to convince me. So in order to prove that he's God, we started the meeting 9 o'clock. To 7 o'clock. Some people were still there 8 o'clock in the evening. 9 to what? In Lagos, people were there. Not this one we are doing here. That one was, we had time, we settled. And I never believed that could happen in Lagos. And when the meeting ended, we said, the next one is in the next 3 months. That was the problem. I said, no. God has men in every city. Hallelujah. Amen. Seeking. is for people that know that there's no other alternative and they remain under the government of God, no matter how God does it. You hear what Job said? Even though he slay me, yet will I what? That is an utterance coming out of what we call a common union. Common union. This guy sees his life tied to God. So even though God decides to whip him, no problem. I'm yoked to you. I'm your relative. You cannot scrap my name. I'm around. That's the kind of thing that evolves from the heart of a man that is in common union with God. Hallelujah. And so we looked at all those things. We looked at all those things. I will suggest that you pick the tape and look into it. I would have loved to continue from there, but our days are few together. And I want to trouble as many waters as possible to bring us, to give us enough food for thought and many more areas that we need alignment. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you still with me? Okay. Now, so when we talk about knocking, the people that have the courage, the comportment, the complex, the right attitude, the right heart alignment to carry out a knocking activity. Now, a knocking activity requires persistence. It's not everything that is wait and take. A knocking activity requires persistence and insistence. That is a principle that is being taught in the book of Luke chapter 18. It is persistence and insistence in prayer. Persistence and insistence. If you have ever prayed for the dead to come back to life, now most of you don't know how to raise the dead. I need to teach you today. Hallelujah. Now, it is different. When you are casting out devils, it is different from raising the dead. But the same principle. Because in casting out devils, you tell spirits to go. In raising the dead, you invite a spirit to come. Now, these things, though they sound theoretically the same, the principle that governs these two separate operations are different. Hallelujah. Now, if you are going to raise the dead, first and foremost, you must receive a witness from the Holy Spirit that God wants to raise that person. Are you with me? There must be a witness. If you don't have a witness, don't even start. The person will not rise. And even if you speak to me on the phone and say, somebody just died, and I want to pray for the person, if I hear your voice on the phone, I will know whether you have clearance from the Spirit to raise the dead. It's not about showing that you can do something. It's about finding out what God wants to do. If God wants to raise the dead, it's not so difficult. But the thing is that the man of God needs to know God's will about the matter. And when God's will is certain, God's will is known, God's will is established. Are you with me? Oh my. Then you insist upon his will being done. That is knocking. It might take you 5 hours sometimes. If you leave that place and go, God will hold you responsible for that person's life, just in case the person is not born again. If the person is not born again, that's one of the reasons why you must insist. Knowing that God wants to raise this person from the dead, you must insist until it happens. Sometimes it may take 7 hours. You keep knocking. You keep knocking. You keep knocking. You might ask, say, Pastor, why is it that it must take so long when it's God that spoke? Maybe I don't know. But there's that provision in Scripture. And based on experience on this matter, I can tell you that that's how it works. Hallelujah. You keep knocking. You keep knocking. You keep knocking. You keep knocking. There are sometimes there are some grievous health challenges that are curses. And you want to do away with it because you prayed for 3 years and nothing happened. You decided to back out. You don't understand this matter. You keep knocking. I prayed for 10 years before intervention began to come into my family. Most of you have not prayed that long. And you're already frustrated. You keep knocking. You keep knocking. Hallelujah. You insist upon it. You insist upon it. And the more you insist upon it, the Holy Ghost brings ventilation into your spirit. You will know that, yes, He's involved in this matter. So you keep insisting upon it. You keep insisting upon it until there is a manifestation. Hallelujah. It is my opinion that we buried more dead people that God wanted to raise, but there was nobody to insist. And I said that the activity of knocking is predicated upon what the platform of common union, father-son relationship. You know what it means when you are insisting that this person should come back to life? You are coming there and say, Father, because of me, raise the person. That's what it means. Because of me. Not just it is written. After you have it is written, you will now say, it's me talking, me. I'm the one. On the account of my own relationship with you. That's what Peter said. He said, silver and gold will not have, but I have something with you. By that which I have with you. Right? Now, that miracle was not totally God's work. Totally. Because it was sponsored by that which Peter had with God. It was partnership. Peter made a demand on something that existed in common union between him and God. And that was what effected that miracle. And when the man refused to rise up after he gave him the decree, he heard him and he insisted. Hallelujah. Knocking. Now most of us know how to ask and how to seek. But knocking is dramatic. You have not seen God's ability if you have never knocked and had the doors open. Hallelujah. Oh my. You need to be crazy to be a knocking man. Crazy. I mean mad guy. Now you see. Hallelujah. Went somewhere to preach. And then I didn't know that that's how they do it there. That when you finish preaching, all the sick people, they'll just carry all this in that place. They expect that for you to be a preacher, God called you. And a proof that God called you is that the supernatural should be evident in your life. And God cannot call you except He sends you to a people. And if it happens to be that you came their way, it means He sent you to them. And this is their challenge. I finished preaching and they brought a catalog of cases. And the cases were not normal cases we have in Nigeria. They were strange cases. Accursed cases. Because it was not just a normal crippled boy they brought to me. A twisted crippled boy. A boy that was crippled and the crippled legs were twisted. What is this? And fear gripped me. Fear gripped me. And I prayed for the other people easily. But this one. Child. That was a knocking case. A knocking case. The same anointing that came to heal the other people is also present to heal the man because they are in the same category. Don't pick and choose. It's knock. Just in case this one refused to respond, knock it out. That was where I learned knocking. So I now went against my fear. It was difficult anyway, but it's a knocking game. In the knocking game, you need to go against the tide of human fear so that you can take advantage. It's a proof that you know the God you are talking about. So I laid hands on the boy. I just wanted to, I'm still in the flesh at this point, to lay hands. God, I knew up to four scriptures I can use to explain why the boy did not work. I was still in the flesh at this point. But I laid hands on him. And God bypassed my mind, my fear, my everything. And as I touched him, he was slain. Him and the mother. His mother hurt him. Him and the mother, they were slain. I didn't know what to do next. Because if I go and hold him now to stand up, what if he doesn't stand? So while I was still thinking, you know what? The boy stood up by himself. The small boy stood up by himself. He was shaking, but he stood up. Hey! You! Oh! Okay, now you walk now. You made it up, so why not use the legs? Jesus. And that was how miracles began to break out in that meeting. That's how 30 deaf people, things came out from ears and they just started hearing. My God, you know, from that point, it was not me walking. Although they were seeing me. But you see, it took time for me to knock that thing down. The devil will use fear to keep you from knocking. Except you know the Father functionally, operationally, you will never, never knock. You will never knock. And the best of you is not even in asking and seeking. The best of you is in knocking. You can uncover an entire nation from behind the veil by knocking. That's where the power of an intercessory resides. Hallelujah. Now, I don't want to press on that because I came with a different menu for this evening. Say, your heavenly Father feeded them. Always remember that. And Jesus added, O ye of little faith. If you can give him half a chance, he will prove himself strong. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, in my analysis, being a preacher that has been in this path for the longest part of his life, I have a little understanding of this territory. And most of the challenges we encounter in the lives of people, Christians alike, as a result of curses. I need to educate us on what exactly a curse is. What are the signs and symptoms that reveal that a curse is present? And how do we translate that curse to a blessing? So we want to do a quick study, an analysis. This is not a study, it's an analysis. And maybe my analysis can be called from curses to blessings. You know, when you take some samples to the laboratory, blood samples, all kinds of samples, and you analyze them, the analysis reveals several things that you cannot deduce by normal visual inspection. Is that true, doctor? The analysis takes us deeper into the probing process and unveils some information that can decide the kind of medication that is required to bring intervention to the situation. In fact, the analysis can be so explicit that it gives us a range of drugs and the possible impact of each particular drug, the level of potency in dealing with the cause factor behind the ailment. An analysis is critical. And so what we want to do now is an analysis. These are the inferences from the laboratory. And you can be well certain that the laboratory I speak of is the Word of God. Based on the study of the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, excluding no chapter, no verse in that matter, I was able to precipitate this. This is the result of the analysis. Are you with me? As touching causes. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
All right? So these are the symptoms and the signs that are evidenced to the fact that a curse is at work. One. You know, there comes a time where you yourself would need to minister to several people. There's a basic line of insight that you need to have that will give you perspective to your ministration. So this analysis is going to help out. Hallelujah. Because somebody is asking me a question in his heart. I'm hearing your question. The person is saying, Pastor, you are speaking about curses among Christians. Are you not jumping out of New Testament theology to sustain a posture that is defective with reference to redemption realities? Why are you taking us back and forth? That's a good question. It's just that you did not read the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. The two sources of curses are thus. Because the sources of blessings, one, hearken on diligently, hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. That's one basis of blessing. Second basis, obey the voice of God. Two requirements. I need to ask you, in the New Testament, does God still have a voice? He has a voice. He still speaks. Or he stopped speaking in the Old Testament. Alright, he speaks. Okay. Now the sources of a curse is that a curse comes because we refuse to hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord our God. One. And we refuse to obey the Lord our God. Is it possible for a Christian to disobey God? So if it is possible, then Deuteronomy chapter 28 is applicable to a New Testament Christian. If it is possible for a Christian not to hearken diligently unto the voice of God, if it is possible for a Christian not to obey the voice of God, then a Christian can be cursed. He can come under the consequences of not hearkening and not obeying. Are you still with me? And I need to tell you, based on experience and based on the little knowledge of the word of God that God has committed to me, I found out that in the modern day church, 57% of Christians are laboring under curses. Now, if we are saying that this month God has come to proclaim unto us a new season, a season of blessings, a season of restoration, then I said that is not enough. We need a wise man, the ministry of a wise man, to teach us how to enter into the economy of those things that God has proclaimed in prophecy. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus said about John the Baptist, he said, who did you go to the wilderness to see? Is he a man clothed in soft clothing? That means, is he a noble man? No. But people that wear soft clothing can be found in the palaces. So if you were going out to find a man in soft clothing in the wilderness, that's a wrong location. Jesus now asks again, who did you go to see? A prophet? Jesus said, nay, more than a prophet. What's the meaning of that? That's a wise man. A prophet can only prophesy that this thing is about to happen. He doesn't know what you need to do to make it happen. Then you need the ministry of a wise man that can tap into that prophetic frequency and download wisdom from the opening that has come in the spirit and then guide you into that which has opened. John the Baptist was that kind of a man that did not only know the mind of God, he knew the step-by-step principles that will lead you into the reality of that which God is doing. John the Baptist was able to pick in that time that the current emphasis of God was that the whole world must need to change their mind because the kingdom of God is coming. He did not stop by proclaiming that. He went further. He told the tax collectors what repent will mean to them. He told the Pharisees what repent will mean to them. He gave everybody wisdom on how to identify with the kingdom of God that was coming into effect upon the face of the earth. Jesus said he was more than a prophet. That is the capacity, the anointing of a wise man. A prophet can prophesy and nobody prospers. You will need a wise man to guide you into what has opened in the spirit. Now, so I came with a lab analysis. Figures from the laboratory. Signs and symptoms of curses. One, repeated or chronic sicknesses, especially those that are hereditary in nature or such as are without clear medical diagnosis. I come again. Repeated or chronic sicknesses, especially those that are hereditary in nature or such as are without clear medical diagnosis. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Amen. Should I come again? Repeated or chronic sicknesses, especially those that are hereditary in nature or such as are without clear medical diagnosis. You take somebody to the hospital, they run all the checks, Wilder tests, the test for Plasmodium, the test for Salmonella, test for all of that, every kind of test, blood tests, urine tests, and at the end of the day the doctor says, we have seen nothing happening, but the person is dying. It's a curse. That's why we need anointed doctors. That when the stethoscope cannot actually reveal the direction of infirmity, then you switch into the spirit realm and trace the origin, foundation of that which is happening. That is a sign. Second sign. Repeated miscarriages and related female problems or barrenness. It's another indicator of the curse. Repeated miscarriages and related female problems or barrenness. It's a sign of a curse. Now, as we do this thing, you are going to be running an anatomy. You are going to be screening your family within the scope of this vista. It's a month of blessing. God has proclaimed it. The shofars have been sounded. The opening of the gates. The spiritual ceremony was conducted in sync with heaven. Now, wise men are required to lead us on a step-by-step procession into the place where we can appropriate that which God has made available. Repeated miscarriages and related female problems or barrenness. I hope you know you can add infertility there. Infertility is when the problem is coming from the male angle. It's a curse. Have you studied your Bible? The Bible, God said that things like barrenness, infertility, he said it will not be a challenge. As long as the people of God operate under the cloud of His glory, under the leadership of His Spirit. The Bible speaking in the book of Psalms 129, I guess, revealing the power that is in the Word of God. So the Word of God, it divided the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord, it breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. The voice of the Lord, it maketh the hinds to calve. It maketh the hind. A hind is a ram. A sheep. It makes the sheep to give birth. So if we are in the atmosphere of the decrees of God, of the word of the Lord, there should be fertility. That's the natural effect of an atmosphere that captures the decrees of God, fertility. So when you see a contrary manifestation, it's a legal issue. It's a legal issue that must be addressed from a legal perspective. If you are still here, say amen.
Amen.
Number three, breakdown of marriage and family. When you see marriages dissolve, When you see families, people in a particular family, then a vagabond spirit now comes to separate them. And you hear that for 10 years they have not spoken to each other. It's a curse. It's not normal. Hallelujah. I said these are what? They are lab results. You see, when you take samples to the lab, you are going to investigate the samples to get insight that you cannot see at face value. Lab result. When you see a family breaks down, notice that because God wants to preserve marriage, God says, what God has joined, what? Together, let no man. He put a curse by the corner. A curse that will be inherited by anybody that facilitates breakdown. But yet, with that curse to preserve the system, it dissolves. Now, where you have not understood your ministry. You have not understood it. You get tape. Get a tape. Now, I sense a movement in the hall. And you see, my eyes were blind to it. Because I'm like Elisha. I need the minister to be able to decode something. And that sound that is coming, it might be accurate to the guy explaining it. Well, but here, it's something else rides on it. Those of you that listen to secular music, I pity you. You will never be strong in the spirit. Never. Your spirit, you always doubt God's word when it comes. You don't know the impact. I don't have time. It's just that I'm in Lagos. I'm not here. I would have taught you the Bible. They will ask you if you are one of the prophets. It's very easy to move into the prophetic. To see from the eyes of God. We're going to need a lot of help from the Lord. Music was one of the fabric that was used in creation. Music, sound. So one of the fabric. It's a very powerful equipment. And when you listen to secular music, in fact, somebody needs to repent here now because of your affinity to secular music. Even till today, you are addicted to it. Repentance needs to be offered quickly. Hallelujah. Well, number what now? Continuing financial insufficiency, especially when the income appears sufficient. It's a sign of a curse. Continuing financial insufficiency, especially when the income appears sufficient. Have you ever heard of that scenario where money doesn't stay in the hand of some people? It's a curse. Give him 2 million. Come back after 2 months, the money is spent. You cannot see anything tangible that has found expression on the account of the money that was dispensed. There's a challenge. Now let me tell you how I did my analysis, just in case you are probing my analysis. This is my library result. I did something most of you will not normally do. I studied the Bible. Then I found all the fault lines, all the fractures, and then I crystallized it. Long term. It's a long distance marathon Bible study to get this from the laboratory. So when you hear that somebody is in a state that money cannot be, my first salary was 10,000. I did not lack with 10,000. I paid my tithe, which was 1,000, had 9,000. People were coming to me for me to meet their needs, and I was available for them with 10,000. But you know what? Every month, the 10,000 multiply. Every month. And I worked for 2 years, 4 months on 10,000. Every month, it multiplied. Every month, I spent far more than 10,000. But what I get from the office is 10,000. I spend double that amount consistently every month. I don't know where it comes from, but it comes. And I can bank on it that it will come. Covenant living. It's not about how much you earn.
It me
now, that is not from here. It's not from here. It's not from here. Hallelujah. Now listen. If you take inventory, you find out that a dog can give birth to 6, give birth to 8. How many of you can concur? Can give birth to 6, can give birth to 8. A dog. But a cow will only give birth to 1. 1. If you say 2, it means you don't know what you're talking about. 1. A calf. They kill cows every day, but yet cows are more than dogs. Think about it. It is not how much, it's how many can survive. The dogs don't survive. Give birth. What's the point giving birth to 8 when at the end of the day only 2 will survive? Then 1, an accident, they'll knock that one down. So it's only 1 that survives, and it's sickly. They kill goats, cows every day. They don't kill goats every day, at least in Makurdi. They don't kill dogs every day, at least where? In Makurdi. Maybe in Calabar they kill dogs every day. But cows are still more than dogs. Who told you that because you earn more, you have a better prospect? You don't understand covenant. When God decides that his presence will cast a shadow, you don't know what it means when Jesus, when the angels say, the Spirit of the Lord shall overshadow you. You don't know it. May the Lord open the eyes of your understanding. The Spirit of the Lord shall what? Then that which is little becomes much. The oil that was so much, you need to borrow vessels because it will enlarge. You don't know that if devourers are on your life, whether you are earning 500,000 and devourers are on your life, it will not count for anything. But if devourers are shut out, if you are earning 80,000 without devourers, you will know that spirits like money. Spirits, they like money. A devourer comes to make sure that anytime money wants to come into your hand, he knows, he smells it in the spirit realm, and then somebody will be sick. Then you will treat. And then, will you say you will not treat your child? Will you say you will not treat somebody that is dear to you? Somebody that is dear. You will spend money. Then when you are finished treating, and then they give the last drip, person will be well. It's a curse. The spirit knows when you will get money. Akoremo si alamo. I met a man. He hit a contract. Did that contract, came down with about 50 million. The first thing he did was to go to Lancer Survey and paid for his street. So they called that street after his name. I'm talking about Auchi. I don't want to call the name. Maybe he might hear this tape. I would have called his name. By the time I came to preach in Auchi, the Lord gave me a word of knowledge that there was somebody here that hit money big, but now he's begging. And the man came. When I saw the man, if they tell you he has ever had 55,000 before, you know. He was cursed. Devourers know when money is about coming into your hand, and they orchestrate problems whose appetite is equivalent to the cash flow. Oh, you don't know what it means when we say a man is blessed. You don't know. Who told you that directors in Benue State, who told you that because they are directors, life is any easier? You don't understand it. Sometimes it's better to be at peace and have only little. That's scripture. Devourers, they know when money is coming. And so a situation where someone has continual financial insufficiency, especially when it appears the kingdom, the income is sufficient. It's a curse. What number is that? 5. Somebody that is accident prone, very, very accident prone, it's under a curse. The person comes to your house, that's the person that will touch glass, it will break. Tomorrow, he touches, oh, you don't know these things. I withdraw my analysis. I won't give you again. this is my library result. You have to generate your own, I'm telling you. it has finished. You will find, you will look for your own. You admit somebody into your heart, he touches cup, touches plate. But anything in the person's hand begins to go down. It's not the person. The person is cursed. It's cursed. Most Christians don't know where to look. That's why Satan stays for too long. You don't know where to look. A curse is a spiritual thing. You don't know where to look. You see it manifesting, you cannot even identify it. That's why I went to the lab to generate results. Have you ever experienced that? Somebody comes to your house for 1 week, 4 plates, 5, everything going bad. Going bad. And after 2 weeks, you almost escaped the entire house being burnt down because it's... is accident prone. It's a curse. And these things can also work on Christians, actually. I will show you why. Where are we? Number what? A history of suicides or unnatural deaths in a family. A sign of a curse. Suicide. Somebody comes and he takes his life. When that sign is an indication of doom. For this, you need to ask. For this, you may need to seek. For this, you may need to know. What number is that? 7. Mental or emotional breakdown. If anybody has ever run mad, if anybody has ever lost his mind, it's a sign that we are dealing with something spiritual. Blessings and curses are similar because they are transmitted through spoken words. Transmitted through what? Spoken words. It is only when the curse is from God that it doesn't need to be uttered. Because when somebody begins to violate God's financial principles, for instance, God doesn't need to utter a curse. The person steps into it. That's an unuttered curse. But let's leave God's own aside. Apart from that, curses or blessings are transmitted through utterances. And they are transmitted through people. Hallelujah. People that seemingly exercise some form of authority over us. Like parents, teachers. Your teacher can curse you. And it will take effect because you were submitted to such a teacher in order to receive learning. Anything you submit to and not transform that thing can work against you. A curse or a blessing is a vehicle of supernatural power providing an orchestration against or for your life, reinforcement and support from the spirit realm, as it were, fulfilling a will, a mandate, and a policy. Curses or blessings have the capacity to be transgenerational. For 1,000 years, a curse can travel. Except it is challenged, it is dissolved, and it will take a spiritual personality to be able to put in place a facility that will undo the authority from whence such a proclamation was made. Hallelujah. For instance, God entered into a covenant with Abraham. Amen. It's on the strength of that covenant that Jesus eventually came to do his work of redemption. Jesus' manifestation was not a manifestation in a vacuum. There was a platform that Jesus was going to walk on, because God is a spirit. And one of the platforms he needs to walk is covenants. So Jesus came eventually on the ground of a covenant that God had contracted with the man. Hallelujah. It means that that covenant was still in force 4,000 years later. After Jesus manifested, the covenant was still valid. That was why Jesus could stand upon it and then make the covenant new and make it greater, including the Gentiles into it, thereby fulfilling the full strength of the covenant that was established with Abraham, saying, "In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Until Jesus came, that covenant was Jewish, but it was covenant all the same. And when Jesus came upon that platform, his death was a legal statement. It gave capacity to the covenant. It gave punch and power to the covenant and extended it even to the corridors and the shores of the Gentiles and people in distant places and islands. They could take advantage of the covenant. That's to show you how far a covenant can travel. How far a spiritual legislation, a policy can travel. It can travel for thousands of years, except it is repealed. Now, what happens to you in redemption? I've not finished it. I'm just trying to. What happens to you in redemption is that God gives you a possibility to come out of the legislative circle of that covenant. But you are going to facilitate the effect, enforce the effect of that provision. There is an arm of government called judiciary. The fact that a verdict is given in the court of law does not mean it is enforced. Enforcement is different. What we have in salvation is verdicts, which justification is a verdict. Enforcement is different. Don't ever think you will not enforce a verdict and see it come true. Don't ever think. Don't ever think. Many guys say, if any man be in Christ, a new creation, all things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You don't read the Bible in context. Read it in context. If you take a blank check to the bank, nobody will cash it. It's blank. It must be specific. It must have context in relation to the account that it's drawing from. It must have a demand. It's an enforcement. A check is an enforcement. A blank check is no enforcement. Number what are we now? Number 8. What is that number 8? Mental and emotional breakdown. We have what is called unnatural and illicit sex. Hey, no, stop there. No, I've jumped. Sources of causes. I jumped. Sources. That's where that one comes. Sources. This one is the one we just finished now. Is symptoms. Yes, these are the signs that there is a curse. Now let's go to sources of causes. Okay. Number one, I will come to that one I mentioned. Hallelujah. I know you don't like my talk today. But I'm trying to bring you into blessing. And if we're going to move into blessing, we must transit from every symptom of causes into blessings. And I'll show you the biblical provisions for the transition. In fact, there is a golden scripture whose subject is that transition. And we need to follow the protocol of that scripture. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And today we are going to effect a transition through prayer. And God is going to reach far and wide to secure deliverance, to secure the transition. For the Bible reveals that God is able to save to the uttermost. Sources of causes. Now, if God permits, we'll still do this thing during the coming contact in a very elaborate manner. This is a crash program, but maybe if God permits, we'll do the real course. It's a strange moment, so that your eyes will be open. Don't just, may God guide you with wisdom in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, sources of causes. One is idolatry, false gods, membership in the occult. Idolatry opens the shaft of this negative supernatural. When the shaft of the negative supernatural is opened, according to the scriptures, it marginalizes the course of four generations. It's a legislation in the spirit that when the shaft of the negative supernatural is open, it has the momentum to marginalize four generations. I told us the other time that the death of Jesus was a legal matter. There's a legal aspect, there's an organic aspect. The legal aspect provided the possibility for the organic aspect to find expression. The Holy Spirit would by no means inhabit the heart of any man if that legal requirement was not satisfied. Now, Jesus on the cross was a great legal statement. It's on the strength of that legal statement that we have capacity and possibility in the spirit realm. Because that's how the spirit realm is. It's legalistic. It's a realm of agreements. It's a realm of covenants. It's a realm of alignments. It's a realm of submission and government. It's a legal realm. There are protocols in the realm. There are depths of courtesies required in the realm. There are procedures that the realm demands for various activities. And you are a novice if you do not understand that the spirit realm is legal. When you see an effect upon the face of the earth that seems to be contrary, somebody has contracted a legal, yes, a legal procedure that has been undertaken that is responsible for what we see manifestations contrary to the expectations that God has spoken about people that are blessed and people that are in his community. Hallelujah. Idolatry is a terrible matter. God warned the children of Israel and told them that, see, the reason for which I brought judgment upon the people that I had to take out of the way in order to bring you guys into the land is for these same things. And you need to avoid those things lest you suffer the same fate with those that were cast out from the land in your place. Idolatry is acknowledging the authority of another being other than God to play God over your life, to become your guardian, to exercise guardianship over your life and over the life of your children. Hallelujah. Now listen. God can curse a man. Satan can curse a man. God's representative can curse a man. Satan's representative can curse a man. God can bless a man. God's representative can bless a man, but Satan cannot bless. I will curse him that curse you. I will bless him that blesses you. Is that in the Bible? God can curse, God can bless. But Satan cannot bless. And so when you decide to offer yourself to a spirit under that God for the purpose of guidance, safekeeping and protection, in the best interest of that spirit, in the most sincere disposition of that spirit, you will be cursed, because it doesn't have the capacity to bless. Satan can only what? I mean, he's sincere. He wants to help you out, but in helping you, he's cursing you. I know you don't understand that because it's theoretical. Now let me go deeper. A lady went to be with her grandmother in Ghana, and the grandmother saw that she was beautiful and wanted to bless her and invoked some spirits, invoked strange spirits, in fact 9 spirits to be precise, placed it upon her, and there were spirits of immorality. Say he wants to make her rich, that when a man looks upon you, she will desire you and drop money. So her own way of blessing her was sentencing her to a life of promiscuity. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Because Satan doesn't have the capacity nor the ability to bless. In his best interest, actually, he might even want to. He wants to do something that you remember. But that thing that he will do will be a curse. Idolatry. That lady had those 9 demons, and they began to wreak havoc. Men have suffered. Men. Sometimes you need to wake up in the night and pray for men. Oh Lord, you need to just wake up and say, Lord, help all men. If you know the kind of gadgets that have been arrayed against men, then you just say, Lord, help all men. So it's a valid prayer. It's a prayer that will always be required. 9 strange spirits. And I was preaching in an auditorium. Preaching. And the lady was inside the hall. And suddenly the demons were stirred. They were stirred so bad. I think they whispered to her that this kind of one should die. So she rose up from the back of the hall and began to make towards the altar, maybe to execute the vengeance that the spirits have transmitted into her heart. And when I saw her running, I saw she was covering ground. I also started running too, so that we'll cover the ground quickly. What wants to happen needs to happen quickly. Jesus told Judas Iscariot, what thou doest, do. Hallelujah. I came with a vengeance too. But unfortunately, she could not stand my presence. She was taken up and thrown away. Them that were for me were obviously superior to them that walked with her. And when she fell down, she resisted falling. And she stood up again and ran. Oh my God. Then me and Anne got angry with her and the spirits. 2 of them. I got angry with both. And I said, okay, to deal with her, let me torment the spirit. And I showed the spirit that I had authority from Jesus to deal with them, to give them instructions. And I began to dole out some instructions. And based on the kind of instructions I gave, because I know how to torment spirits and torment their host, I make the spirit torment the host in the process. So there's double torment. Now if you don't know what I'm saying, you think I'm just talking. So when she had suffered torture under the hand of those spirits, I think she realized that these spirits actually curses. So she now desired to be free. So when she desired to be free, I helped her with the job. And she came out. And for the first time in many years, she was light. She never knew anything other than the burden of those 9 spirits. Until the day came where the Son of Righteousness came with healing in his wings. And she felt as light as a bird. Come unto me, Jesus said, all ye that labor and a heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I don't want to stretch and talk about idolatry, but the devil has no good side. Just in case he comes and says he wants to bless you, you can be sure that you are cursed. Second point dishonoring parents. You know, I said these are test results from the lab. An anatomy of the entire scriptures to receive all the cracks and faults. Dishonoring parents. In fact, the Bible says that if we, by any means, like long life, we need to honor parents. Parents in every context. Illicit and unnatural sex, another source. Illicit and unnatural sex or illegal sex, unnatural sex is the source of the curse. In all my journeys as a minister, I found a demon that was so strong and deeply rooted in the soul of a man, such as I've never experienced before. It was in Plateau State in Jos. Went to a secondary school to preach, an all-female secondary school. And the entire congregation was a congregation of lesbians. Then I knew that I understood something about deliverance that day. The demons of perversion. They are even higher in ranking than the demons of wickedness. This witchcraft that people do is not in ranking. It's nothing to be compared with perversion. I need to tell you about a man called Nimrod and what the Bible calls Mystery Babylon. Hallelujah. They are not with me. You see those 10 commandments in your Bible? If Satan wants to recruit agents for his kingdom, you must break 10 of them. And the high point in high calls is that you have to kill. All of those things are just an inversion of the policy perspective of God. Are you with me? Fornication and adultery is sin enough. But can you imagine lesbianism? It's not even imaginable. Because a spirit will have to bring the idea. Even the vilest of us will not even think of that aspect. Somebody that chases women a lot, it won't occur to you. It will take a spirit to educate a man on the issues of perversion, because it's not natural. Perversion is not natural. It was said that Nimrod married his mother. That's the first perversion. Semiramis. And what they were doing was conscious. They were trying to create portals for darkness, and they evolved a mystery. Through those inversions, a mystery was involved. I met a girl on campus. Strange lady. I told you about my story. How a lady haunted me for 5 years on campus. I survived by the grace of God. Hallelujah. And that lady, you know her journey? Her journey began somewhere at the age of 5 when she slept with her cousin. She grew to become a monster of all people possessed of devils on that campus. She was highest in ranking. I don't need to call her name because you may know her. 37% of preachers that would have liberated Benue State fell at her knees. And there are preachers that were far more anointed than me that you see today. I was not. Those guys, they were guys. Hallelujah. Are you following? I was not close to the top. Close. There were people that were called. Huh? That was obvious that they had a calling. I was just known for my ability to teach.
I was called a teacher those days. I was just known for my teaching. That was all. I was the teacher. If it comes to teaching, yes, I believe in that regard there was something notable. But these ones I'm telling you about were rugged, were radical men of faith. It was at her labs that their anointing finished. And you see, one thing with her, if you engage her, you will be bad with respect to her anointing. You'll be a bad man. She carried a host of demons that was so potent, palpable presence. And when she comes closer, she can disarm you in all your spirituality, even though you are on a dry fast. The anointed ones fell. The sons of thunder fell. A day will come when I will cry the lamentations of old. How the sons of thunder, they fell. I'm telling you, these guys, they wrought things on campus. When you hear that lamentation, how are the mighty falling? It's a parable. It's a parable. It's better for you not to be mighty than to fall with might. How did her story begin? She was an agent of darkness. I mean a notable agent. But it started with perversion. Not everybody can cast out a demon of perversion. It requires a righteous atmosphere for that yoke to break. Not everybody. So I went to Jos. And the place where I preached was a ground of perversion. I did not know. They looked so beautiful. Young, tender, innocent. But most of them were more educated than I was in light. They were educated in darkness than I was in light. And I encountered a problem. Then I knew that spiritual knowledge was not a function of physical age. That people have gained mastery of the spiritual corridors. Some of those experiences I had on the field made me to go back and seek for God, because I knew I did not know Him. The demons of perversion are difficult to handle. Difficult to handle. And if the devil sets those kind of things in motion, it's because he has a harvest that he's looking at. Now, concerning that damsel I spoke about on campus, victory would have meant that I casted out the spirit. Abi? But I did not succeed with that one. My own success was that I was not hurt by her scourge, by the weapon she had. I was not hurt. But I did not record the success of saying that we expelled the forces with which he walked. When you begin to see perversions, and you know that our generation has been marked for perversion, marked. All the evangelism that Obama has been doing across the nations is to create a premise for perversion. It was perversion that was found in Sodom and Gomorrah that God could not be patient with them. When the day comes when perversion rises, there is a judgment that comes from heaven that even the best of intercessors cannot avert. It was Abraham the intercessor that was assigned to bring deliverance to the land of Sodom. His intercession made a great deal of difference, but he did not spare the land. That generation is coming. The spirits that governed Sodom and Gomorrah, gradually it has come back, and by legislation, perversion has been accepted as a norm. We were supposed to have started this ministry in Scotland since last year. What is the problem? We already have the papers. We have registered with their own corporate affairs commission. He has a name. Alright? We have put everything in perspective just to come and pioneer. Now, our The point man in Scotland, he applied, you know, you will come first. He applied to the immigration, what they call it, there is not immigration, it's border control. Applied to border control for an extension of his visa. When he exhausts that extension, then he has the right to apply for a green card, residence permit. Right now, because they know he's a pastor, that's why they have been delaying him. So he took them to court. He won the case. Do you understand? Won the case, got judgment. The commission was instructed to fast track his visa and that of his wife until today. Is how many years now? From last year to this year, they are still. But if he's a gay person, they would have done it last year. So the system favors perversion more than uprightness. That's where we have come. So we dwell in the day of curses. In the day where perversion is right and right is perverse. You are a bad man if you are not a perverse man. But one of the sources of curses is perversion. It is strange. The spirit is fierce. I needed training for many more years to understand how to shine the light in that darkness. And when Satan wants to put a mark upon somebody, that's what he does. That is what we call trespass. When a man commits trespass, he's exposed to foreign powers. Powers that are not common. Powers that are not regular and ordinary. Yes, I know there's a stream of fornication and all of that. It's very easy to handle. It's very easy to bring somebody out of it. Especially if the person is serious and we set him aright. The person is cleaned. The person can fulfill his destiny. When you transcend that boundary and you bring foreign powers, if the man that is helping you through the process of deliverance does not understand how light shines in that darkness, they will waste your time. But just in case you are here, you have experienced that, no challenge. The great one will run a surgery this night. One of those days when I was on leave, I was in the office doing counseling services. Then a lady came into my room, into the office. My spirit, I know that scent, that smell. Oh, you have not used your spiritual nose. That was the smell I smelled in Jos when I came for that meeting. Then I smelled it in my office and I told her, you are a lesbian. She said, yes. But she has not initiated anybody into it. I said, okay. It means you have some good points there. You have some good points there. Sit down. There's an aroma it goes with. The spirit that causes it is one of the dirtiest spirits in the realm. And if you can smell it, it is strange. When we say unclean spirit, you don't understand? Oh my. Is unclean, unnatural. And the curses that travel in those corridors are bitter ones. Bitter curses. Sorry, my time is almost up. Number what? Sources of curses, number what? Injustice to the weak and helpless. In form of one, abortion. That's an example. Somebody say, ah, pastor, why are you talking abortion in the church? I'm just preaching the word of God. I'm just preaching. Why did you kill the child? Because the child is weak. Couldn't fight for himself. Whenever injustice is done to the helpless, a curse takes effect. And if you are not guided by someone that is skillful in the spirit, that understands how restitution is done in those cases, you may carry that mark forever. But it's not your portion anyway. Now, we are going to do something strange today. In order for you to come out of the impact of a sexually induced situation. Are you with me? Oh, you don't like what? Okay. Let's assume all is well. I think we say we want to be blessed. I'm just telling us the things that even if it's on the Mount Carmel that your own prophecy comes and these matters are still there. Hallelujah. If you are going to come out of a sexually induced condition, you will have to know the names of all the people you slept with. Maybe they are 25. Write them down. It's a very see, the spirit realm is legalistic. It's a court. Do you go to court without a prayer? In fact, there is a drafting methodology. There's a way to concoct a case and to present it in line with being fitness, being fit and proper. There is decorum. There are courtesies. There's etiquette. Now, but when we come into spiritualities, we don't know that those details exist. You will have to call that day. So some of us may need to start drawing up a list right now. And just in case you say, Kai, I was a military man. There were some ladies we engaged in the night. There was no time to ask their name. Put those ones on comma. You want to be blessed? Okay. You don't know. Hallelujah. Now, okay. Pastor. In your church, they talk blessing, blessing, blessing. How many people are blessed? You know, they don't mention these matters. Just prophesy, decree it. It's not true. Unfortunately, it's not true. If it were true, by 14 years, would have everybody in that place that was inoculated accurately according to scriptural prescription should have at least 70%. There would have been evidence that yes, these guys are blessed. When you don't even understand the shape of the spirit realm, and to understand that the basis of our blessing is because of Abraham's contact with God, and we need to do the works of Abraham, where are you? There is no other premise, no other possibility for you as an individual to be blessed outside of the contract that God captured with Abraham. It's not the talk and you disturb people for years saying they will prosper. That's not what prospers. He will write the names of all the ladies, all the men. Joseph, Stephen. Don't laugh. We are in church. Church is for recovery. It will be very meticulous. You will know what you are doing. Then when you go before the court, you will do in your bedroom this night. Don't do that one here. But write it out. Take time. Write it out and then present it. Now, God has said that His people, He wants to bless His people now. That's why I'm doing this. You know, for the past 8 years, I've not preached on prosperity. I just started now. From yesterday. Because of what God said. I waited for the time for God to instruct me. Because having studied the Bible, I knew that the subject of prosperity entails many more factors that are not even mentioned at all. And then you say it's prosperity you are preaching. You are wasting people's time. By the time they are old, they will know you are a fraud. If it is true that you are really prospered, why not build a university and make it free? That's a sign that you are prospered. Yes, that's a sign that you are prospered. People running on scholarship because of your life. It's a sign that you are prospered. Freely have you received. Freely give. We should not pay price for everything you do. There must be people that will come under the covering of the excessive grace that you have found with God. There are many people, many pastors without number. Right now, I don't have the number in my brain. They are submitting to me, seeking me for leadership that I have never collected tithe from. I think they said that when you are submitting, if the person will tithe to me, let Baba reveal it to the person. But receiving instruction from me and oversight from me doesn't directly mean that I should receive his tithe. If I will receive his tithe, Baba will tell him. I will not be the one to tell him. Are you following me? You are not with me. Now this guy is here. These ones, I can tell them that they'll bring it this month. But somebody that is not in this house, that is subscribed, plugging to the life here, no. I will do the work of the same work I do for them. I do over those ministries. I go there to knock the demons out. But I will not be the one to tell them how to submit. Because I think God led them. Let's also allow God lead in that matter. Now, when everything becomes money, it means we are receiving payment. We have already received our reward. Meanwhile, God did not anoint you because of you. He anointed you because of the people. And if we look at ministry properly, it's God that will pay you, not people. So you should be able to do ministry without people. And that's why I always suggest, for those of us that can afford it, when you are released to pioneer, you are released to open up, carry your stethoscope. Sonny, carry your stethoscope along. Set up a clinic there. Be doing your work as a doctor. Earn money. And then, by free course, with a free heart, do ministry. So that if nobody gives you tithe, you will not be. You just allow yourself to flow like that. And allow God to bless you. He will meet you. If God has called you to go full time, don't look at the people. Just look on God. God will come through. God will come through. God is not a man that he will lie. A friend of mine said, God says you come full time. And then he's harassing the entire church. I said, God, it's either that you are not called, or this is not what God told you. God didn't say go full time. I suggest you look for a job. But if God has called, because I know some of you here have been called full time. Hallelujah. Don't look on the people. In fact, God can raise somebody in Abuja that is not sitting under you to be dropping money in your account every month. You don't even understand the way God blesses people. That's why I want to teach you. I was sitting on my table today, studying the Bible, praying, enjoying myself, and my phone was there, and I will hear cranky, it's a lot. 50. Crank. 30. Those guys are not here. They don't sit under me. Crank sometimes 500. Crank sometimes 45. That's my Zenith account. That one is not salary account. That one is just a savings account. Alright? If people want to sow into my life, that's what I give them. Do you know, I will sit on that table like that, and after 1 month, I have 1 million in that account. And I begin to spend by sending seeds. Send like this. It will go to 300 and something. Then it will start again. Cling! Cling! Those guys are not in this congregation. The Bible says, the cattle upon the 1,000 hills belong to God. That means there are 1,000 channels at every point in time that God has to reach your life. If you are the problem, that's why it has not reached. The channels have been preordained, but you are so difficult to locate because you are dislocated outside of the principles of God. Listen to me. 60% of pastors in Makurdi were not called to do that thing that they are doing. 60%. And that's why there is poverty. I will stop there. Are you called? If you are called, money will come. If you are faithful to God, remove your eye from money. Sonny, take your stethoscope there. Alright? Set up your small clinic. May the Lord grant you a humble wife. And share love together. Enjoy yourself. Preach the gospel without the hope of receiving any reward. I will take a flight from here to Sokoto. 39,500. Two. Coming back, 25,000. Calculate it. Somebody help me. How much is that? Then they give me 20,000 as profit of it. Now subtract. No, you are not with me. You see, you are not fully. I've spent 745,000 for flight ticket from January to this time. Is all? Before December, it will be more than 1 million. Last year, I spent 1.4 million traveling around. You need to be called to spend that kind of money for God. You must be called. You must know the one that called you to do that. All those meetings I went, it was on losses. What they gave me was not up to my flight ticket. So I did not go there because of money. I went there because I am called. Are you called? Then I will go there, they will give me 20,000. Then I come back on my study table, put my phone out here. Cramp! 550,000. How much do they pay me? He never runs dry. Never runs dry. In October last year, I saw that my house was defective. And I called the engineer. Pull it down. I whisked my wife and children to another place to manage, to patch. And in 3 months' time, the house rose again. 7.4 million to raise it. I said, don't manage any material. When I finished building, we wanted to connect light. The community said the transformer is full. I said, glory to God. Then I went back to the great one. I said, I need transformer. 1.26 million to set up transformer. 1000 kva, 100 kva, not 50 can take 4 houses. That one can take a community. That's what I bought. Then I gave people light. I said, woman, you need light, take light. Because you are close, disconnect. Freely have you received. Freely give. Hallelujah. It came from, I hope you know, December is hard. Before the rains, I had a roof. The roof was the costliest long span. You know, they have different thickness. The one with the highest thickness is the one they use there. That one doesn't leak. Yes. I said, don't manage. They say, it's this million. I said, he's coming. On the table, I put it there. I didn't preach to nobody. I have discovered that God pays me for preaching, not by preaching. No, I will preach and go for free. And then he will trouble somebody and say, are you called? Can you trust him? Can you trust him? If you can, you will see more money than people that work. I tell you the truth. Chido, how much do they pay? Hey, you will know it. You are an accountant. Level 8. Basic salary. Okay. 60 something. Ala bokote mele. Basic. That basic salary of that level 8. That basic salary. This time I came. somebody came to kneel down to give me that basic salary. Meanwhile, when it comes like that, what? This might come in how many days now? I've sown seed of 235,000 since I came. I work in the oil industry. What I'm blessed is more than my salary. Any day you hear that I resign is because God told me. I'm already convinced, well aware, practically, that God can pay me more than the government can pay. Meanwhile, don't get it wrong. I suffered for 10 years. No, every money that flows, if it's reaching my side, will be diverted for 10 years. And I kept on. And when it was clear where my loyalty lies, God came. And now I don't pray for money. Can you believe God? And just in case you have a job, I'm challenging you to tap into the resources of God, your Father. He will take you over and above what you earn in the month. You no longer be a slave of salary. That's why when they owe you for 9 months, you're already dead. As if they revive you from the mortuary. My God, you can mount up with wings like eagles. I traveled, paid my air ticket, 220,000 from here to Lilongwe, Malawi. When I landed there, Jesus spoke to me, said, don't take money from this people. By the time I came to the congregation, I saw the poverty. You don't need a dictionary to know that these guys were poor. You may not know. You guys are doing real great. If they see you, if those guys see you, you look like royalty. I saw poverty. People from Zambia began to trek. When they heard that I came, they began to trek from Zambia. It is a 2 year, 2 days, 8 hours journey. 2 days, 8 hours. That means 48 plus 8. And they brought their sick in wheelbarrows. They reached there on the third day of the meeting, like people that were raised from the dead, covered with dust. I had to cry that day. It was while I was crying that their sick were healed. May God open your understanding to know that He did not call you to be a poor person. May God, that if you can obey His voice, make Him priority. There is nothing He cannot give you. After 7 days of preaching, on the sixth day in the night, God said I should give them $500. $500 is 200,000 of their money. Watch. $500. How much is $500? Who has the current exchange rate? All right, I have it on my system here. Let me. Today's rate. Anybody? 199. Huh? All right, times 500. What? 99,500. So I just gave them 99,000, what? 500, which is equivalent to 200,000 kwacha. That money I gave. Then I said, all right, I'm not collecting from you people, but I'm giving. Now that I'm giving 200,000 kwacha, when I mentioned the money, some people almost died. That's 99,000 naira. The poverty there is palpable. I had to change the equipment. Because it was their speakers was like the one they used to sell or tapia. When you talk, you think it's a masquerade. I said no. We had to raise money to buy speakers. The basket was full of money, not from rich people, from poor people. Because when they saw the preacher man lay down his own sacrifice, they say, Michael, in our land. poor people. And the glory of God, the power I saw, is far more than what I see here. What I saw there, I've never seen. HIV, 7 people healed in one meeting. 30 deaf people healed in one service. Cripples rising. The power of God was massive. I've never seen that here. It was so massive that my seat, when I go home, I don't know, people join line to sit on my seat. And power flows, power on that seat. We went for baptism. I came and prayed on the water. I said, God, you are the one that sent an angel to stir the waters. Stir this one. Water began to conduct deliverance from morning to 4 p.m. I think we'll stop our lecture here for now. Now, you can pray to God and say, allow this young pastor to teach us more of this during the contact, because it's God that directs me on what we handle. Believers are not prospering because they have violated laws. As you get back home today, go and make a list of the people that you have carnal knowledge of and begin to repent, mentioning their names one by one. The finances that has not come into your hand, this matter is. Okay, let me just mention that list of sources, then we'll stop, so that the message can be complete, at least on that level. Then we'll stop there. Idolatry and the occult, dishonoring parents, injustice to the weak and helpless, e.g. abortion, etc. Trusting in the arm of the flesh, stealing, looting, and corruption, when you steal from generations yet unborn because you are giving public service, it releases a curse on the entire bloodline. Being stingy with God financially. Words spoken by persons with relational authority, such as parents, husbands, teachers. Words pronounced by persons representing Satan, e.g. witch doctors. Soulish prayers, soulish utterances, gossips, and wrong attitude. Self-imposed curses. You curse yourself with your own mouth. And then unscriptural covenants. When somebody enters into blood covenant with a boy, saying it's relationship, now that means they will be together forever. Cut yourself, put blood in a cup, put water and drink. That a curse takes effect. And people have done all kinds of stuff. They are guilty of trespass, one way or the other. And they are expecting God's blessings to come upon their life. These are the things that we need to handle if we are going to be serious with God about blessings. Can we do some prayer? My time is up. Just ask God. Hallelujah. Now, how many of you are convinced that God has a mighty blessing for you? You are convinced. You know it. All right. Now, I said it again. Please, when you get back home, all the people that you had carnal knowledge with, go and write their names down. And what? Repent, mention the name, repent, mention the name, repent, and please don't be ashamed. See, the house of God is a workshop. It's a workshop to bring guys out of all kinds of pits and make them, decorate them to fulfill their destiny. Mention that. Repent. Cast your mind back. And if you can't know the, if you don't know the name, just put question mark there. The Holy Spirit will help you with that. Make sure you carry out repentance. So let me give you four words. We have not even reached half of this topic, but I need to give you four words so that you can work with when you get home. All right. Recognize, repent, renounce, and resist. Recognize, repent, renounce, then what? Resist. The demons that are assigned to you on the account of that error, you have to resist them after you have recognized. You have what? Repented. Renounce. Renouncing means I have nothing to do with you. You have no part in me. By my own free will, I denounce you. I will not go follow you again. If all of us on earth tell Satan, we not go follow you again, the end time will come. How I wish we can get the entire Benue State to renounce Satan. I guess in our lifetime, that will happen. Before we bow our heads and take a flight of grace, we'll see to that. Now let's go with the four R's again. The first one is recognize. Second one is what? Repent. Third one is what? Renounce. Fourth one is what? Let's go again. Recognize. Okay? Repent. Renounce. And what? Resist. Now we will go into court. As I have been teaching, maybe your own hindrance must have been revealed. Now let's address it. If we can address it in prayer. No, this one now, tonight there's no prayer point. You pray based on that which has come your way. And we're going to do that prayer for the next 10 minutes. Do it with all your heart. Come with a true heart with full assurance of faith. That was the lesson of yesterday. Coming with a true heart with what? With full assurance of faith. Hallelujah. And if you have no direct stuff to pray about as per commission, there are things with idolatry, there are things with, you know, that are in your family, and you need to repent about that. You need to repent about that. I want us to be praying right now for the next 10 minutes as we bow in the presence of God. All forms of idolatry in the family, all forms of affinity to darkness, all claims that the devil has, recognize, repent, recognize, repent, renounce, then resist, and keep resisting, and don't stop resisting. Every day resist. The pathway will be clear for the work of God. If there is any form of carnal knowledge with anybody whatsoever, you may need to get back and write all the names down. Begin to repent one by one. Please forget about your neighbor. Let's go to the clinic of Jesus. Let's ascend to Jesus' clinic. You said this month that you want to release your blessings upon your people in keeping with this matters, Lord. We have come to visit. We have come to visit critical areas. Critical areas. Critical areas. Critical areas. So that the passageway can be made. Repent about issues of idolatry. Issues of idolatry running through the family, ancient covenants, caught in darkness, marginalizing the destinies of people. Repent on the behalf of your family. Repent about any form of sexual involvement that turns darkness upon your face and resist the light of God's countenance. Repent on the behalf of yourself and of your family. And ask that God's mighty hand might be let loose. Might be let loose. Mando Hoseke, Libra Masata Baboria. Let all the blessings that have been waiting, resisted, let them begin to be released into the lives of God's people. Let strange things begin to happen. Let strange things begin to happen. You
can begin to mention the names of those people you were involved with. You did it in ignorance. You were not enlightened. You did it in ignorance. It's time to receive liberty by the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, God wants to push you forward. He wants to push me forward. We repent, oh God. We repent, oh God. We repent, oh God, of indulgences. We repent, oh God, of involvements. We repent, oh God, of treachery. We repent, oh God, of iniquity. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. In the name of Jesus, have mercy upon our families. Have mercy, oh God, for every blood that was shed. For children that were killed in form of abortion because of pride. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask for your mercy. We ask for your mercy. We ask for your mercy so that your blessings can come upon your people. So that your blessings can find expression. We ask for your mercy. We ask for your mercy. Help us.
Have you noticed perpetual financial lack? Perpetual financial lack. Oh my God, oh my God. Mahike seko dobre hede kaila. Maraso deke vike. Mantala brasa ila karaba lota mina brantaba boro. Asahite kento lia braska manta. Maraske soze naita. Miraketa manto minakataba. Ansa maraila harabate. Ikobonto samatula babaha. Ika mahando robo soke mahike. Masantomina kandelia. Masayako ni mareka sala. Embre ketalabo bori masakelia. Embre ya babasaka. Etoba babasika. Mandele bori masaka. That your blood might speak for us. Let your blood speak. Let your blood speak. Speak for us. Speak for our families. Let the shadow cast and the veil be taken away. Today you are alone with God. You are alone with God right now. Oh. Oh. Oh,
Repent against bloodshed in the family. The wickedness of the wicked. Untimely deaths taken away by witchcraft sacrifice. Repent. 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 For the latter rain, let every covering cast be done away with, oh God.
I am a saint of Madaloba, Himma,
let the covering cast be torn away with in the name of Jesus. Any destiny, Lord, that is stuck, that is on one spot because of an error, Lord, have mercy this time. the mighty name of Jesus.
Now, can you reach out your hand to somebody? Begin to pray for that person's family and ask God for mercy. Ask God for mercy. Ask God for mercy. The next 5 minutes, ask God for mercy. Ask God for mercy. Ask God for mercy over that life. Request the mercy of God. Demand 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 the mercy. 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 Demand it. Oh, basabarada badabada. Mahanda rovo rovo sekatalia marakaska tomina bradis. Demand the mercy of God concerning that family. Idolatry, bloodshed, untimely death, for rituals, for sacrifices, all kinds of things, all kinds of things that has made death to cast a shadow, all kinds of things that has created situations of abject poverty, all kinds of things that have release a sentence on the female folk that they will never get married. You can reverse it. You can reverse it right now. Abobo santongo loko rebasi, adada balate basika, mabateho, 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 zeprehete kada babalata, zeprekete leboria, zepresando, matozeka diala babahato. Mabrasanda Hadakadia Ebrasi Zeholobo Marese Zesetabaha Mabrasata Babolata Ayato Menekadia Ingabasonde Membreskata Babotoka Babata Ekobina Sanda Rabata Yakote Mansaila Esobe Ayakonde 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 Sinda Labakoria Zabada Teplegate Rokotom Brehaski Zambola Tamina. Open the door. Christ Jesus, open the door. Righteous Spirit, open the door. Our Father, open the door. Open the door. Oh, oh, oh. Open the door. Oh, oh, oh. Open the door. Oh, open the door. Open the door, open the door, open the door.
Things. I beheld the corridor open. The first floor of the corridor full of light, bright light, intense light. Second floor of the corridor filled with green light, very massive, illuminating. When I approached the third floor, it had a mist of darkness in it. And this darkness was so thick that it had the capacity to blot out the light, that I could not see the color of light on the third floor. I want to pray now. It is God's will for that darkness to be dispensed. That darkness is rising from somebody's life. And as I rebuke the darkness, the heavy burden will lift from your shoulder. Open the door. Open the door. That was why I formulated that song. Because of that darkness. And the great destiny that you have been blessed with by God delays from finding manifested. Not because God has changed his mind. There is a darkness. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you tonight for this solemn assembly. This moment of the rending of the heart and not the garment. That we may seek repentance. That we may renounce that which is evil and stand perpetually with that which is good. Overlook our weaknesses tonight by your blood. Look upon us with mercy and grant that the light of thine countenance, which is thy favor, might rest upon us like a crown. It is your good pleasure to make us gain ascendancy from one pedestal of grace and favor and bounty to the next. But we behold a darkness, a treacherous darkness, defiant in nature, resisting brilliance, brightness, and illumination. Father, Lord, any life that this represents tonight, I stand as a priest. I stand in the office of the call. And I command that darkness diffused by the light of God. It is written, his light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. The darkness cannot understand it. I come in his name. And I shine forth his light. And I command you, darkness, be dissipated in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, it lives. Be dissipated in the name of Jesus Christ. now I command the weight upon your shoulders to begin to lift. 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 The hand of God is upon someone. There is a lady here that God wants to set at liberty. There are dark forces around your life. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I don't know where this lady is, but you are going to help me because it's a day of liberty. And I ask, oh God, that you will help me tonight. I ask, oh God, that you will help me tonight. This darkness that has formed a siege around this lady, creating an atmosphere that has the propensity for death and destruction, I come in the name of the Lord and I diffuse that darkness in the name of Jesus Christ. I diffuse that darkness in the name of Jesus Christ. Diffuse that darkness in the name of Jesus Christ. The siege is over. Let the rain from distant places come upon your dwelling place. Let the light Shekinah from heaven come upon your face in the name of Jesus. Let the light of the countenance of the Lord shine upon you. Let it shine with strength. Lord, bring your people out of the perpetual room of waiting into manifestation and destiny. I bless your tomorrow. I bless your going out and your coming in. Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. Anyone that say you will not marry, I break that yoke. I break that yoke from off your life. I break that yoke from off your life. I break that yoke from off your life. It doesn't matter how old. I break that yoke. Help me, help me, help me, daddy. They say she will not marry. Now let that yoke be gone. I command that darkness lift from off this lady. I disannul that legislation, and in his place I decree that the sons of strangers shall stand and build your walls. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. Open the door. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come as a law enforcement agent with mandate from the higher powers to expel, to change, to proclaim a new dawn. Every form of manipulation, the corridors of your life and destiny, I stand today in the name of the Lord. And I command it disannulled. 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 Any mystery by which your life has been kept in waiting, I come with a new mystery. The mystery of the name of Jesus. And by the power that is in the name of Jesus, I set you free. Like it was for Jacob in Peniel, where the sun arose upon his face. I decree that the sun rises. Let the sun rise. Let the sun rise upon your face. You shall no longer be hidden. In the name of Jesus Christ. Kabonahise, Kabonahise, Kabonahalambo, Kabonahisa Lanto Likabarate Maya. Now do something for me. All of you ladies, if you are a lady on this row, touch your umbilical cord before I pray now. If you are on this row, this row. Umbilical cord. Hold fast. Hold fast to it. Hold fast. Hold fast to it. By power. By signs, by wonders, by an outstretched arm, by a strong hand, by the blood of sprinkling, by fire, I ask, O God, that you penetrate that portal and set that captive at liberty. Penetrate, penetrate, penetrate it, penetrate that portal, penetrate it, penetrate it. Let that captive be set at liberty. Yes, it's burning. It will burn intensely. It will burn. I kindle the fire now. I kindle it. I kindle it. You were heard, hosted by barons of darkness. I hereby proclaim you free from bondage. It has not finished. Don't remove your hand quickly. Elamaye Sendolo boya kona ni mamarona Elamaye kura Simama tebo dena Haile baro kena sina branda le male male ma E na bakole ne Samina tele Samina kelabona Samina kaya, Samina na bote ya konia, eka mama. The exhibit that is held up, presented continually in the court of justice, judgment and equity to invoke upon you vengeance, I destroy that exhibit. Your umbilical cord that was held, used as a point of contact to monitor you, I liberate you from his witness. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let the sun rise upon our faces. Thank you. Thank you. If you are here, you could not take in, you could not conceive, welcome. If you are here, you could not get married for whatsoever reason, irrespective of your age, welcome. In fact, for you unmarried ones, I give you 12 months, 12 months, 12 calendar months, 12 months, 12 months, by terrible things in righteousness, by signs, by wonders, by a strong hand, by an outstretched hand, by the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. You will not want your mate. In the name of Jesus Christ.